I have a couple articles I want to read you, the prelude into the sermonette today. There are people out in this world that know what's wrong with this nation and know why the nation is crumbling into an abyss that it can't seem to get out of. And I'm going to read a couple articles here. It says, one article, these are out of our local paper. It says, our nation is in need. Our country is dying. It's going the way of the dinosaur. We don't notice it because we're too busy about our daily lives, but it's true nonetheless. Talking about getting caught up in our everyday cares. It's dying as we've pulled away from our God-fearing roots and have moved toward a materialistic and secular society, one in which we care more about ourselves and what we have rather than concerning ourselves with the welfare of others. In the Bible, Jesus said there we're to love God with all our hearts and with all our soul and with all our strength and with our entire mind, and also to love our neighbor as ourselves. I believe it's not a coincidence that when we were following these two all-important basic directions, our country prospered. Now, however, various special interest groups are forcing us to turn our backs on God. So he's turning his back on us. The more we take him out of our schools and our homes and our government, the more we suffer. Every one of us knows that in the past, we were a favored nation. Now, though, we're a country that's struggling just to survive. If people would wake up and realize this, then they'd understand that we need God back in our lives. Our country needs God's blessings. With it, we'd once again be the most admired country in the world. Without it, though, we're simply lost. And here's another article. It says, will we lose it to non-believers? Dr. Erwin Lutzer wrote a book with powerful message just in the title, Failure, the Backdoor to Success. His point was failure or defeat is often the very thing God uses to open the door to victory in unforeseen ways. In the recent election, is the recent election God's way of awakening Christians in this country of ours? Will we indeed lose it to non-believers? It's amazing how judicial branch in our government has legalized sin in the sight of God, whom they openly mock, criminalizing God's word, Christ followers in the presence of Christian symbols and artifacts. Is sin, in their view, an inalienable right? It's astonishing how declared Christians prefer mammon over God. Boy, how true that is. Arrogantly, irreverently, in blind denial. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. Our Creator is a jealous God, and why shouldn't He be? He created us and gave us His only begotten Son for our redemption and salvation and eternal life, they say in heaven, that we'll say in His kingdom. Jesus proclaimed, our first commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Matthew 22:37. Is it in God's plan that our nation come to nothing? We have pushed Him out of our government, public areas and schools and now our lives. He will determine our nation's destination. And one last article. Just a part of an article, just see how more denigrated our society has become. It says, new Congress sets record in number of gays and women. New Hampshire's all-female congressional delegation, the first in history, is among the fresh cracks in the marble ceiling that Nancy Pelosi described 6 years ago when she became the first female Speaker of the House. With the swearing-ins Thursday of two female House members, Carol Shea Porter and Ann Kuster, both Democrats, New Hampshire became the first state to have an all-female congressional delegation. The state is represented in the Senate by Republican Kelly Ayotta and Democrat Jeanne Sheehan. Well, the 113th Congress also includes a record 7 openly gay lawmakers and an unprecedented 20 female senators, including Chambers' first lesbian, Wisconsin Tammy Baldwin, and the first Buddhist, Hawaii's Maisie Hirono. Also, for the first time, women and members of minority groups hold the majority of the Democratic Party's party house seats. And this is the comment out of this. It says, "We're making progress. 20 and counting," said said Senator Claire McCaskill, a Missouri Democrat who was sworn in to a second term. As you see, it's just progressively worse and worse. Today, as we look around at the conditions of this world and consider the depths of the sewer that our own country is degenerated into, we ponder, will we or could we ever pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, so to speak, and get out of the predicament we're in? The answer is yes and no. We could, but we probably won't. After 9/11, a majority population of our country became the most patriotic, or for the most part, patriotic and somewhat religious, displaying the American flag, and going to church and showing more love toward one another. This lasted in some cases a few days, a few weeks, or months, in some cases several years, maybe even up to today, being a life-changing experience. There have been other tragedies over the last several years, Hurricane Katrina, and most recently the Superstorm Sandy, just to mention a couple that have wreaked havoc on our country. This, coupled with the terrible, tragic shooting of innocent children in Newtown, Connecticut, along with the total disregard for human life in general. Just as I was sitting down to put this together, and it's been a couple of weeks ago, I was reading about a man that lured firefighters to his home by starting a fire and opening fire on them, killing two, and then turning his gun on himself, taking his own life. We can't make light of these people's sincerity, of those affected by the tragedies. They are sincere, as we all are. But I truly believe they are heartfelt, yet only temporary. For as long as the hurt is still there, just as when at times we have trials, as soon as the trial is over, the dust settles. Many times it doesn't take long after repenting before we settle right back in our own bad habits, needing to repent again and again. Unless we make some very determined changes in our lives, though sincere, these changes may at times be only short-lived. As an individual, this is for the most part easier to do than for a whole nation. It is now a conglomerate of many nations, cultures, and religions that God told us not to have alliances with. God gave us choices and told us if we do good and follow Him and obey Him, we'd be blessed. But if not, we choose not to obey Him, we will be cursed. And guess where it all started? As usual, back in the Garden of Eden. We can always go back to our first parents, Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9, if you want to turn there, I'll read it to you. God tells us, "The Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden. There he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And then skip down to verse 15. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it you will surely die.'" Well, not only today do we have these major storms and 9/11s, but there has been enormous drought through our country. The economy of our great but for how long country, our nation, has all but tanked. And Congress cannot come up with any long-term solution. This is the result of our nation getting further and further from our Creator, the Almighty God of heaven and earth. There is a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to death. We're going to go to the Book of Solomon. In the days of King Solomon, there's a lesson to be learned here. When he had finished building the temple in 2 Chronicles 7, I'm going to go there. And God tells us through the actions of Solomon what should be done, and if not, what would become of the people he had chose. Let's begin in chapter 7, verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord in his own house. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven, and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house. My name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. As for you, if you walk before me as your father David walked, and do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom, as I covenanted with David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man as a ruler in Israel. But, here's the curse. But if you turn away, as we have here in this nation, and forsake my statutes and my commandments which I have set before you, and go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will uproot them from my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight. And it will make it a proverb and a byword among the peoples. And as for this house, which is exalted, everyone who passes by it will be astonished, as people are today, seeing the downfall of our nation. It says, why has the Lord done thus to this land and this house? Then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, or out of this world, and embraced other gods and worshipped them and served them. Therefore, he has brought all this calamity on them. Well, God is quite plain about what he says. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy, verse 30. Chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to our fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Also he says in Isaiah 1, verse 14, your new moons and your appointed feasts, or modern holidays, Christmas, Easter, Kwanzaa, Halloween, you name the occasion. My soul hates, they are a trouble to me. I am weary of burying them. Turn with me to Revelation 18. Verse 4, says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. But if you turn with me in closing, in Psalms 1, I'll just read it. Psalms 1, I'll turn there. We'll read verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Let us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and continually pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. What we must remember is that all scripture is given for inspiration and admonition to guide us toward the kingdom of God, not the kingdoms of gods.